This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Like most other segments of American agriculture, grain farmers are more than happy to put 2019 in the past. Joe Vaklavic, founder and president of Standard Grains in Chicago, says last year did not start off well and it just kept going for the next 12 months.
We had a pretty comfortable, if not burdensome, supply situation entering the calendar year. So the calendar year kind of began similar to what we've seen the last two, three, 4 years, a comfortable supply and demand situation, not anything terribly tight, low prices, farmers not making a ton of money. We've got the trade war going on. A lot of overall negative factors, I would say, to start the year.
He says the spring is when things began to get interesting.
Both in the markets and in the weather. We basically sold the markets off until about in that May timeframe that I think traders started to realize that we had some serious weather problems. Wet weather, cold weather, planting delays continued. And typically, we're always told the crop's always going to be planted, and planting delays are not a cause for concern.
However, as the spring continued, things turned more serious in the market.
Planting delays turned into a major concern. There was a point in time in late May into maybe the mid part of June where we just had no clue what type of production was possible. And out of that, we had a very significant crop scare rally in the corn market and in the soybean market to a lesser extent.
Farmers continued to plant corn long past what would have been a normal planting date. Vaklavic says the market was rallying as farmers continued to plant, even into early June in a few locations. He says the market peaked in June because it bought a whole bunch of corn acres that wouldn't have been there otherwise. Vaklavic says farmers face challenges from a weather standpoint, logistics, and from a demand standpoint with trade challenges in 2019. With all that stacked against them, the question was how much grain U.S. farmers produced last year. He says that that answer depends on who you ask.
A lot of people think that the numbers that USDA has put out are just not achievable given the late planting, the wet spring, and the late harvest. So there's still some debate out there. I'm not one to tell you with any degree of certainty that we know for sure what the crop is. And we've got this big report on January 10th, which is the final crop production report. And I suppose if USDA is going to make any sort of sweeping adjustment, probably comes on that date.
Again, that was Joe Vaklavic, president of Standard Grains in Chicago. Moving on into other ag news here on your Friday, the U.S. Senate will take its first look at the USMCA agreement Tuesday if the House sends the impending legislation to the Senate. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley announced the hearing after the House passed the agreement along with articles of impeachment when House Speaker Nancy Pelosi chose to hold the articles of impeachment rather than sending them on to the Senate. However, the hearing is still not on the official calendar for the committee. The hearing, if held, would be the first step in getting the trade deal passed by the Senate. Progress will depend on the impeachment hearings. Previously, Senate leadership expected the impeachment hearings to take up to a month, leaving little room at the end of January or early February for USMCA passage. If the impeachment hearings are delayed by a few weeks, the Senate could consider and pass the USMCA implementing legislation before the hearing. The House approved the agreement by a 385-41 vote back on December 19th. The new year brings less of a tax burden for farmers and ranchers when it comes to health insurance, according to the American Farm Bureau. In spending bills passed by Congress before the holiday break, lawmakers included a permanent repeal of the health insurance tax, which was enacted as part of the Affordable Care Act. AFBF says the tax has increased health insurance costs for farmers, ranchers, and other small businesses by imposing a levy on the net premiums of health insurance companies, which is then passed on to consumers. The spending bill also retroactively reinstates and extends tax incentives for biodiesel and renewable biodiesel through December 31st of 2022 and tax credits for second-generation biofuels through 2020. In addition, the measure retroactively restores and extends through December 31, 2022, the 50% tax credit for short-line railroad maintenance. Short-line railroads are first and last mile carriers that connect small towns, farms, and factories to the national rail network, creating jobs and stimulating economic growth in thousands of local communities. CoBank says it was just not farmers that saw lower cash returns last year. Grain elevators will also see their profit margins drop compared to previous years. The lower returns are blamed on a higher basis for corn, beans, and wheat. A release from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange Division says in addition to having to buy a more expensive basis, grain elevators are offering farmers incentives to sell bushels, such as lower rates of storage, free delayed pricing, and free grain drying. Lower quality and high moisture grain coming in from wet fields around America also boost elevator cost. Propane shortages last year also continued to put a damper on elevator revenue. As if that's not enough, drying wet grain can lead to commodity shrinkage, which adds to lost bushels and higher costs for elevators. CoBank says those challenges from last year will likely carry into this year. Grain elevators' margins will get squeezed in 2020 by tightness in basis, diminishing carriers in the futures market, and many other challenges from low test weights and high moisture grain, CoBank says. And after one of the United States' most challenging growing seasons in history, the U.S. Grains Council announced the Corn Harvest Quality Report shows resiliency in agriculture. The report is based on 623 samples collected from inbound farm-originated trucks at harvest. Kurt Schultz, USGC Senior Director of Global Strategies, says the report provides transparency about crop conditions and consistency that reinforces that the United States is the world's most reliable supplier of good quality corn. The Grains Council, global staff, and grower leaders will share the results of the first report in a series of crop quality seminars around the world beginning in Taiwan this month. A forthcoming companion report, the 2019-2020 Corn Export Cargo Quality Report, will focus on cargo export samples collected from corn shipments undergoing federal inspection and grading processes at export terminals. The report offers reliable information on U.S. corn quality from the farm to the customer based on transparent and consistent methodology. Moving on now to the state of Illinois ag news, we have the December crop progress and condition report. Statewide, the average temperature for the month of December was 35 degrees, 5.5 degrees above normal for the month of December. Precipitation averaged 2 inches, or 68 hundredths of an inch below normal. For the week ending December 29th, topsoil moisture supply was rated at 3% short, 68% adequate, and 29% surplus. Subsoil moisture was at 6% short, 78% adequate, and 16% surplus. Winter wheat condition thus far is at 6% very poor, 10% poor, 36% fair, 46% good, and 2% excellent. The next crop progress report will be released at the end of January and February and March, and weekly reports will continue yet again starting in April. In other state ag news for your Friday, the Illinois Pork Producers and the Illinois Corn Marketing Board donated 10,263 pounds of ground pork to food banks through the state last year on behalf of the Pork Power Program. Since its inception in 2008, Pork Power has generated over 721,000 pounds of pork, or nearly 3.8 million servings, for families throughout the state. Farmers and partnering commodity groups contribute to the program year-round in order to help feed hungry neighbors. Towards the end of each calendar year, the IPPA turns the remaining funds into ground pork and divides it among the regional food banks in the state. In the months of November and December alone, over 53,000 pounds were delivered to regional food banks in Illinois as part of the end-of-year giving campaign just in time for the holidays. Compeer Financial also contributed to the year-end donations in Greater Chicago, the River Bend, and in the northern parts of the state. Those who received pork in 2019 were the Greater Chicago Food Depository, Northern Illinois Food Bank in St. Charles, Peoria Area Food Bank in Peoria, the Riverbend Food Bank in Davenport, the Central Illinois Food Bank in Springfield, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank in Urbana, the St. Louis Area Food Bank in St. Louis, the Tri-State Food Bank in Evansville, Indiana, and the Midwest Food Bank in Bloomington. The Illinois Pork Producers encourages pig farmers to participate in the program by covering the processing fees of their donated hogs. Farmers can go to ilpork.com to learn more about the donation process. This program would not be possible without the help of many local packers and processors across the state, which include in our local area Cordy's Meat Locker in Highland. Moving on into other ag news, especially with the Department of Agriculture, there's plenty to keep track of in the new year for the department. Jeff Cox serves as the agency's bureau chief for medicinal plants. First, a lesson in the difference between industrial hemp and recreational marijuana, which became legal on January 1st.
Well, the biggest difference is the THC content. So both plants are Cannabis sativa L. The real difference is in their genetics and in their chemical makeup. THC is the chemical that provides a recreational user the high with adult-use cannabis. Industrial hemp, on the other hand, has a very, very low THC level, and that's mandated by both federal law and state law. So the uses are very, very different, obviously. Adult-use cannabis is used for what's commonly referred to as recreational purposes, similar to alcohol, for example. But industrial hemp can be used for the CBD oil, which does not provide a high. It can be used for building materials. The seeds can be squeezed for oil, just like you would soybean oil. So they're very, very similar plants, but at the same time, they're very, very different plants when it comes to the end use.
There is also the state's medical cannabis program, which has grown to be about 100,000 patients. There are a total of 21 cultivation centers in Illinois, and all have now been approved for adult-use cultivation of recreational cannabis in addition to medical marijuana. Moving on now to local news and the Ag Community Bulletin Board, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their January meeting at 7 p.m. on Thursday at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. That meeting will begin at 7 p.m. The 79th annual meeting of the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will take place on Tuesday evening, January 14th at 6 p.m. at the U of I Extension office in Hillsboro. A light dinner will be provided by Milanus Catering, followed by a short program from Ashley Dawson, farm bill biologist with Pheasants for Ether. Ashley will discuss the importance of providing wildlife habitat cover and how the programs can be utilized for that purpose. Door prizes will be following the meal, and you can make your reservation for the meeting by calling the SWCD office at 532-3361 extension 3 and asking for Melissa. The Montgomery County U of I Extension will be holding the Certified Food Protection Manager's class and exam. The two-day course will be held from 9 till 3 each day at the Montgomery County Extension office in Hillsboro. Participants are required to attend both days of class. The exam will take place on the second day, and it is very important to bring a photo ID. Pre-registration is required by Thursday, January 16th, because exams need to be ordered prior to the course. You can register by calling the Montgomery County Extension office at 532-3941 or registering online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM. And finally, in bulletin board news for this Friday morning, the Carlinville FFA alumni will be holding their dinner auction on Friday, January 18th at 5:30 at the Carlinville Elks Lodge. There will be a silent auction from 5:30 until 8, a buffet dinner served at 6:30, and a live auction will be held at 8. Tickets are available for $20 for adults. Children 12 and under are $15. Tickets are available at C&B Bank and Trust in Carlinville or at PJ's Tire or any FFA alumni member. All proceeds from the event go to support youth in the Carlinville FFA chapter, which is celebrating 90 years here in 2020. And that'll wrap up this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us or anything for the Community Bulletin Board, Those items can be emailed to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Friday morning, January 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.